Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Winter is coming.
Heavy rain, sleet, snow, and ice. Are your tires up for the challenge? Tread confidently in winter's worst with a set of new tires from Tire Rack. They sell only the best, like the full line of Hankook tires. Go to TireRack.com/sports. That's TireRack.com/sports. Tell them what you drive. Your tires will ship fast and free to you or one of over 10,000 recommended installers. That's TireRack.com, TireRack.com, TireRack.com. The way tire buying should be.
Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. Final hour tonight, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon.
Got to get to at least 8-9 inches, and then it's going to be good.
We're live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Well, we'll have more NBA coming up in a few minutes, but I'm still stunned, and I'm happy, and I'm happy for Netflix because, you know, they needed it. The Tom Brady roast is still garnering headlines 48 hours after it aired, right? This shows you the place it holds right now in pop culture with us, that after the success of it, the next day was owned by all the Roastmasters making appearances everywhere. Jeffrey Ross did a bunch of radio shows saying that, no, Brady was only kidding with me when he said, don't make a massage joke with Bob Kraft. And we watched a Nikki Glaser do a couple of interviews saying, hey, oh, the only thing we decided was not to bring up the children because they didn't want to be part of it. And, you know, she, you know, getting a lot of attention off of this. Look, everybody was terrific.
Sure.
And still you see, because it just shows you, again, the part it owns in pop culture. And then today we get the story that, according to many sources, Gisele Bündchen is upset about the roast. She was not happy with the jokes that went out there. And a statement, according to her sources, that she just wants to look out for her kids because she felt that this was some material that was thrown out there that was inappropriate. And now she's standing up and saying, wait a minute, this was bad. This shouldn't have happened. She's disappointed that Tom Brady did the roast and wanted to get this out there on the record that, boy, she can't believe that Tom Brady agreed to do this. Now, there's a lot to get to with this, but let me just say the first thing here. Okay, stop for 1 second. Stop with hiding behind, I'm worried about the children.
Think of the children.
What about the children? Do it for the children. You know what I say? I'm pretty sure that I don't even know if they were officially divorced yet. Maybe they were, but it could be either it was before or right after. There were pictures of Gisele Bündchen on vacation with her jiu-jitsu boyfriend, with their kids. There were paparazzi photos. They were all over. I'm pretty sure that was out there, that they were on vacation all together. And she didn't want her kids to any of it. What does she think was going to happen? Okay, the kids weren't involved in this at all. She's a public figure. people are going to say what they say about public figures. It happens. Is she going out? Is she upset with the late night hosts for all the jokes they made about their divorce? Is she upset with the tabloids that are putting out stories about their divorce? And, oh, by the way, the tabloids getting the pictures of Giselle moving on from her relationship with Brady and living her, quote, best life. Clearly, there's one person who seeked out the cameras following the divorce because she wanted people to know, hey, I'm moving on, because I've not seen one picture of Tom Brady with Arena Shake or Kim Kardashian or whoever else it is, but I've seen all kinds of stuff with Giselle Bundchen and her jiu-jitsu instructor, again, with their family. So I look at Giselle Bundchen and I go, this is just stupid. She's just being ridiculous because she's mad that the jokes went over so well. She's mad that people are talking about it and that the jokes, you know, she was the butt end of the joke, or she was the punchline, and she just wants to try to find a way to gain a little bit of traction on this and gain a little bit of relevancy and say, oh, hey, this was bad. I'm above it. I want to get some good publicity on this because I can't stand the fact that everybody is laughing at jokes and they're at my expense.
Well, I think it's kind of funny. You go back in the recent history. She showed up on Jimmy Fallon and the Tonight Show. You know who the other guest was? Wayne Brady. Think they had fun with that booking? Here's Wayne Brady. And now here's Giselle Bundchen. I don't know that anything was asked about anything there that, you know, related to this, because that's generally not how Fallon would roll. But, you know, this had long been announced, right? They'd been giving tickets away and working to build an audience there at the Forum for months. So not exactly a surprise that this was coming on. As you say, everything had been laid out on her side in the tabloids, and those people aren't there by accident, right? They're tipped off. Hey, she's going to be out. Going to be out and about, and she made this, you know, they're not doing the NORAD tracker and stuff. That's, you know, some inside info as to where they're going to be and how they're going to be, and, you know, they always seem to know where the cameras are.
Yeah, when they're in Costa Rica or somewhere. Right. Here she is riding a horse on a beach. Really? How is that if
the
paparazzi don't know?
Random person just figured that out?
Well, you know, look, there's winning the divorce, and clearly everybody wants to do that, right? When you're married, you break up, you want to win the breakup, you want to win the divorce. You know, just like the breakup with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston, you want to win the breakup. You want to show that you are moving on. And clearly, that was Giselle Bundchen's strategy from the beginning. She was the first one that we saw of the two. Hey, she's dating her jiu-jitsu instructor, which, wow, someone that you knew while you were married to your husband, who your husband took lessons from. So while you were happily married, this guy was in your life, and now you are dating him. I don't think any joke that Kevin Hart or Nikki Glaser or whoever else made on the special is something so awful that your children are saying, oh, what happened here? Yeah, I think everybody knows what's going on, right?
But the kids also aren't 5 years old.
No, they're not.
You know, like all of this, I'm assuming they all have technology and stuff at their disposal. So they've seen, they've heard, and if they were interested at all, it showed up. I can't imagine they did all the blocking, anything having to do with Brady Bundchen, etc. Hey, I can't even search for the family name, or I can't even fill out a form for school. So, you know, they're keenly aware of everything that's gone on in this process and how their famous family has been discussed in and around all sorts of media. So
yeah. I'm just a simple person trying to make ends meet, right? It's Brady and Bundchen, right? They did the documentary about Brady's life with his kids. I mean, you can't just sit here and say, oh, then now I'm just trying to, you know, I'm trying to make ends meet and I'm trying. No, you're a public figure. People say things about public figures, and if you're not upset with what this is just how it goes. And I mean, to say, I get it. She's just mad that all the jokes were out there. Everybody's laughing about them. I'm sure she's got text messages and sees on social media all the jokes about Giselle were really good, and all the different jokes, and the one Roastmaster made about Dana White, why Dana White was there, was just, oh my goodness.
Yeah,
and she's upset about
good.
That, right? Yeah. Yeah. Could your kids wind up asking about it? Yeah, sure, it could happen. But do you really think this wasn't, like you said, was this not a conversation? Was this suddenly, oh, hey, I got a roast coming up on Sunday night. Might want to watch. Wait, what? Yeah, sorry, got to go. Bye.
no, this is out there. And you can find anything, and anything can be said about someone who is a public figure. So I fail to find the outcry here, except the fact that she was embarrassed and she was looking to find some kind of footing where she can get some kind of good publicity off of this, because basically, you know, look, she was the punchline, one of the big punchlines of the roast.
Yeah, in the end, it's the you can be mad. Right, you could be disappointed, you know, whatever the right term is going to be, but this history has been played out in public in so many ways, and as we said, like, you've made a living in the public eye, model and philanthropy, Brady's wife, all of this stuff. You've lived in public, and you've done plenty of the drops, as we said. You know, I guess that's you and I having lived in L.A. as long as we have, knowing, you know, and they show it on some of the reality shows, how the sausage is made. Hey, you know, this guy just happened to be here. No, they got tipped off that the guy was going to meet up for a sandwich. I mean, remember when you ran in, who was it, John Lovitz that time? I'm sure he would have loved for TMZ tour bus to roll up on him. You know what I mean? Like, those kind of things happen all the time. Oh, he just happened to be leaving this restaurant as people are there with their $5,000 cameras. So all of that goes on time and time again. So, yeah, you could be upset and disappointed. As they say, this too shall pass.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is, look, it's more oxygen for the roast. Like, honestly, if I'm Giselle, okay, it happened. Let's just let it go. Right. The best sometimes that's a hard thing to do. Right. Because especially if you're someone like Giselle, that I'm sure is hearing from, when you hear from your friends, you hear from your agent, you hear from your manager, you hear from, oh, that's messed up. That should never happen. You should have not done that to you. Not done this. He didn't say anything. All his backups were all about everybody else. So he didn't say anything. Like, so it's sometimes the hardest thing to do is to say nothing and to just and. You know, this has come out through sources close to Giselle, which is a way for her to get this out there without it being directly from her. But this is something where I know it sucks if feel bad about it, but you just have to kind of let it go.
Because do you really feel bad, though? I don't feel bad at all.
I don't feel, what I'm saying is, if you feel bad about this for whatever, but you have to just, you know, okay, I got to let it go.
Oh, yeah, you got to act like it never happened.
It's gone.
Like, you don't even know about it.
I'm not even going to talk about it. Right?
Don't lower yourself to it.
I can see, hey, we want to talk. No, I'm not going to do an interview. I'm not going to talk about that. But to get out there that, oh, I'm upset about this, because all you're doing is bringing up everything again. Because she does not, because it's a Brady roast, and of course things are going to be pro-Brady while they're anti-Giselle, even though Brady's getting roasted for it. You know, you get what I'm saying? Like, it's still, everything's pro-Brady, even though the joke's on Brady, but the joke is about Giselle, because it's a roast. Everybody gets it. So I know that that's a kind of a weird way to look at it, but if you're Giselle and you see this, okay, you know what? It's going to be gone in a day or so. I just have to ignore it and not get back at this. And I get it. Sometimes it's hard saying nothing, but sometimes saying nothing is the right thing, and that was the right thing here.
Well, you know, the old song, you say it best when you say nothing at all. This also from the people right up of this. The source added, Giselle was dedicated to, dedicated to aiding those in her home state of Rio Grande do Sul, Brazil, grappling with the worst flooding in its history. So concerned about the family affected by the flood. So to hear her life being joked about was very disappointing.
Yeah. That's another word to bring up. Here's something important that you do, which is great, which is important stuff.
Doing great things.
But
absolutely.
And Brady's doing a roast, you know, like, I'm doing this and Brady's doing a roast. Look, it's all about trying to win. It's all about trying to win. And clearly there is still a big battle between the two of them of winning the breakup and winning this relationship. And they're still going at it. They're both very competitive, as you can tell. And I'm not saying, look, I know what happened in the relationship. I don't know what happened in the relationship, but I know how it's being treated from the public eye. And I know that Giselle Bundchen is trying to more visibly win the breakup than Brady was. And what she did right after, all the pictures out there, making sure that pictures of her when she was modeling are out there. Brady is putting video up once in a while of him retiring on a beach. Oh, okay, I guess that happened. And again, no pictures of him with the women he's been linked with after. Pictures of Giselle with her boyfriend. So, I mean, this is just the way it's going, and everybody fights that battle a little bit differently. And you would have to say that right now, if you're talking about public, physically, Brady is fighting the battle a little bit better than Gisele Bündchen is. Doesn't mean one's more right than the other. It just means that Brady's fighting the battle a little bit better publicly. And really, the way to look at this, if the kids are bad, say, talk to your dad. You know, like, look, talk to your dad. If you're upset about this, you heard about this, talk to your dad. Talk to your dad. Now, none of this is new. None of this is something. They could find the punchline if they want to. They could not.
Right.
She's a public figure. It's different when you're a public figure. And that should have been the response. I have no response, but if the kids are upset, talk to him about it. Because he's the one that did it. You talk to him, and you see what he has to say to you about that.
Yeah, one last thing. You brought up, there aren't a lot of photos, details, whatever. A lot of rumors about people that Brady's been involved with, and certainly they alluded to that a couple of times over the course of the night, including the appearance of Kim Kardashian there. I was pretty astounded that many folks, even here in local media in L.A., had no idea that those rumors even existed.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what? It's like, no, that didn't happen. We would have heard about them. No, you should have heard about it. Yeah. Like that actually was a pretty big deal for about a week. It showed up quite frequently. And then denials and whatever came out of it. But here we are. It's, living in public versus still keeping some things behind the scenes.
And I'm pretty sure, guys, it's Gisele.
It's Gisele. That's right.
That was painful, the extent he went to trying to pronounce her name. Like, okay, get it. Okay, let's. Okay.
Uma
doing it.
Okay. Oprah. Oh. Uma. That was a complete throwback.
Well, it's not quite that bad, but yeah, but I get it. Yeah, I get it. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the TireRack.com studios. Coming up next, we get back into a big story of the NBA. We take a look at the 2-minute report from the Knicks and the Pacers, plus a big-time villain is set to make his reappearance tomorrow in the NBA playoffs.
I know everyone.
It's coming up next right here, Fox.
If you get the email, says from Dikembe Mutombo, do not answer. My email was hacked by these crazy people. I don't know why.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon, live from the TireRack.com studios. So we're getting set for game two tomorrow.
Yeah, we are.
Knicks and the Pacers, and there's a big anniversary we're going to get to coming up in a couple of seconds. But first, Let's get into the big news tonight. I mean, listen, yes, Oklahoma City thumped Dallas. Okay, we knew that was coming. Boston thumped Cleveland. That's all you need to know, right? Okay, yeah.
Well, the hockey games were good.
We're good. Hockey games were good. Yes, exactly. Yeah, great. But the two-minute report for the Knicks-Sixers game one came out, and much like the two-minute report for game two of, I'm sorry, the Knicks and the Pacers, much like the report for game two of the Knicks and the Sixers, with all these bad fouls that were called, all these things that happened the final minute against the 76ers, yeah, the one thing they didn't call was, yes, they should have called a foul on the inbounds, right? That was it. That was the big thing. And the Sixers went with the strategy of, had they just done that, we would have won the game, even though there were still 30 seconds left in the game. They would have to make free throws and hold the Knicks back, but they wanted to look at that and say, we would have won the game if that was the case. Now, certainly they would have had a big advantage. It would have been up potentially by five, but they still had a lot of game left to navigate. Now, fast forward to today, where the two-minute report came out, all the things that were missed in the final 2 minutes, and what do we see? The two big things. The kickball that was not called last night, that the officials even said after the game, hey, we blew that, right? Kickball play with 52 seconds left in the game. It should have been the Pacers' ball, but we missed that. The offensive foul call on Miles Turner, upheld. The officials made the right call on calling the offensive foul on Turner, and that was the correct call. So that was upheld. So basically, all of the Pacers who decided to get really mouthy about it over the course of the past 24 hours, all this, I can't wait for the two-minute report after what happened, this was taken away from us. It really comes down to the fact that, yes, they got screwed on the kickball call. And just like the Sixers, they want you to think that the game was over and they would have won if they got the ball. When what the reality is that they would have had the ball with 52 seconds left in a tie game. Tell me how that translates to the Pacers winning the game. They may have gotten a fast break layup. They may have not gotten any points on that. They may have pulled it back because the Knicks did have a couple of defenders that would have got back. Maybe they score. Maybe they don't. Maybe they get a bucket. The Knicks hit a three. You're trying to tell me that one play, 52 seconds, had you called it that way, we would have won. That's exactly what the Pacers want you to think, and that's just wrong. No matter how many times they say it, that's just wrong. There were still so many plays left that had to transpire in the game, but they want to focus on that. And I say, you know what? Great, because I watched the Sixers focus on that, and they went home in six games. I'm watching the Indiana Pacers focus on the officiating. Great. You're going to go home in six games or less, too. So there we go. You really want to say that play ruined you and you lost a game? That's just stupid, because it didn't. And you know me, I'm being realistic with this, and this is how I feel, because when the Knicks got screwed at the end of game five, what did I say? I don't care. I don't care if they got the Josh Hart play wrong. I don't care if they got the Jalen Brunson play wrong. The Knicks made a lot of mistakes. It shouldn't have been there, and they lost the game and they blew it, right? So I'm that way, right? I tell you about how the officiating is and where it is and what the most important calls are and other calls you can come by from. You can make excuses all you want to, but now I've watched the Sixers make incredible amount of excuses in the series that they went home for, and now I'm watching the Pacers make an incredible amount of excuses already for a series that's only one game old.
Well, at least their coach kind of went down the right path, Carlisle, of the things they need to clean up, because there's certainly plenty.
You mean
a lot
Jim
of questions.
Carrey?
That's pretty good, Ed. Very much Jim Carrey. Yeah, okay. Latter-day
Can we get
Jim
a full
Carrey?
Fire Marshal Bill impression while we're at it?
Let me talk to you for a minute. Say you're
for him to show up in an orange suit.
Say you're dribbling the ball off the floor, and someone says the ball goes off your knee, and it doesn't. It went off your hand.
Wow, that was
pretty good.
The guy from with the really annoying voice. That passed away not too long ago.
No, that was Fire
Marshal
Bill.
Wow, you're going full Gilbert Gottfried?
No, that was Gilbert Gottfried.
No, Gilbert Gottfried is this. Why would you not call a foul when clearly it went off an Indiana player's hand? It did not go off his leg. I saw it, and I couldn't even see out of my eyes, because when I yell, I squint so much, no one even knows what I'm doing. That would be...
No, that was
I really thought you were
going to
say because you were dead.
No, wow. Why would you have to bring up the fact that he died? Why are you going to go that
way? Yeah, Harmon, that was dark.
Come on, man.
Wait a minute. You already said it. Like, Frostburg opened the conversation with that.
But you didn't need to... Hey, I want to reinforce. In case you didn't hear, he's dead. And in case you missed that with Frostburg, I want to remind you he's dead. Okay, great.
I didn't know which punchline you were going for. Right. Remember, I am recovering from a stroke off the word tirelessly.
Yeah, that word did give you a lot of difficulty.
Psychologically, I'm a little shattered after that one.
Tirelessly one, Harmon zero. There's your score. Yeah, right.
I think Harmon needs more cowbell and some Reggie Miller highlights.
Probably a little more of that. But, you know, it opens up the discussion again of what are we reviewing, what are we not. You know, just the bigger picture of the NBA, like we do with the NFL all the time. Like, what's a take and how deep into a game, into a playoff run do we need to be for there to be substantive changes as to how we evaluate these processes, right? You got to go play defense. That's the bottom line. There's still 52 seconds left in the game. You can relitigate a lot of it. Yes, it then went straight into a DiVincenzo three. But again, you got to play defense. And you have multiple possessions, couple that you have the turnovers, you have the Turner moving screen call that comes in that folks were mad about. It's like, hey, letter of the law, that's a foul. And that certainly didn't get overturned in the two-minute report or anything for folks to continue to be mad about that. You got to go win the game, right? At that point, it's 52 seconds left. It's a tie ball game. Go to work.
Mm. So there's your two-minute report. And most importantly, I'm not giving the win back. No matter what, two-minute report, that's great. Knicks one, Pacers zero. Okay, that's how
but
it is.
I mean, but again, that's what zero. It always comes down to. You know, we can argue it and discuss what was, what wasn't called, and we get into the moving screens and different points of the game and stuff that gets overturned. Because for me, it's, the larger thing on officiating of, all right, what does it take to get something overturned, right? We talked about it last night. Again, it's third quarter, but the Brunson foul that gets overturned. I'm like, I still don't understand how you can watch that play and tell me that should not have been a foul. But that's where we're at with officiating, and we can do this constantly. 2-minute report, all it does is give you something that, you know, in the office you want to throw into the fireplace.
Jason, hey, don't worry. Really Scott Foster to tie this series up.
You wait till he'll get a sign. Don't worry about it. Don't worry.
Oh, I know.
When the series is 2-0 Knicks, he'll get a sign in that game.
You think he's sitting on a beach somewhere? Right, no, wait, now?
He's just waiting. He's like, you know, he's like one of those guys like, you know, they can call me at any moment. I got to be ready to go. When that bad phone rings, I have to go. Sorry, baby. I know we could have had a great time, but I got to go. I got to make sure that they call me the extender for a reason. I got to get the Pacers back in this series with the Knicks right now.
I got to have my legs, so you're going to have to leave me alone because, you know, women weaken legs.
Now, there is a bright light for the Pacers because they're going to have a big-time addition in the building tomorrow night. And it just so happens it's a person who celebrated a very big anniversary, the 29th anniversary of this play today.
Miller for three, and he got it. Reggie Miller with a clutch tray, and it's 105-102. And a steal. Miller retreats to the three-point line and hits again.
Tie game.
Reggie Miller has tied the game with 13 seconds remaining.
Reggie Miller made a three, stole the ball, raced behind the three-point line, and hit again.
Miller's going to make, after he sets the screen, he steps behind, makes the first jumper. On the inbound pass, Greg Anthony stumbles.
For only the second time in 16 games here at the Garden in against the New York Knicks, Indiana has reached 100 points. They won the other time. Maybe this will be the magic number for them here as well.
It's like Indiana's win in game one at Orlando last year.
Miller hits two.
So, yeah, NBA and NBC, hooray, 29 years ago today, Reggie Miller, 8 points and 9 seconds at the end of a playoff game against the Knicks. It's lived in infamy, his back and forth choking with Spike Lee. Look, it's one of the most famous plays in NBA history and the biggest moment of his career. Now, he's actually going to be there tomorrow because he's on the broadcast for the game for TNT. And he appeared on the Dan Patrick Show earlier today saying, ooh, Michael Myers is coming to MSG.
The boogeyman is coming back to town.
Starks will be there at the game. Like, you actually had a physical conference. You and John Starks okay?
Haven't seen Johnny Boy in a while.
So he'll be there.
Bring it.
So this is him enjoying his rivalry with the Knicks, which, let me tell you the first thing before I really tell you. Let me tell you the first thing about this is that, look, it's cool. It's cool that he's embracing this. He says, hey, if anybody wants to come back, Ewing and Oakley and all these guys, yeah, it's great, it's great, it's great, it's great. Yeah, it's great. Because let's be honest about Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller had a really good career. Reggie Miller was overrated. Okay, Reggie Miller played in the 90s, all right, where it wasn't quite open offensively, but this is a guy who didn't even average 20 points a game for his career, right? In his heyday, he was averaging 21 points a game. He was the 16th highest scorer in the 90s. He had the 16th most points per game in the 90s at 21. Bernard King was ahead of him. Mahmoud Abdul-Mararouf was ahead of him. And there were still guys averaging 25, 28, 29, 30, 31, 33. Jordan was at 33 or 34. Reggie Miller had a really good career. He was polarizing, and Indiana was in the playoffs a lot, and that's why Reggie Miller got a lot of run, being Cheryl Miller's brother. There was just a moment for him. But everything he's done, everything after his career, he owes all of it to that play with the Knicks. He owes everything he's done and the celebrity he has to that play, because without it, Reggie Miller would have been a quite anonymous kind of star player, very good player, because there's no other moments in his career to talk about. There's no other, boy, he did this, he did this, he did this. Reggie Miller was very good. Was he great? Was he one of the great? No, again, 21 points a game, all right? For his career, 18 points a game, 21 in his heyday. But if he didn't have this moment, he wouldn't be the guy he is now. But everybody points back to this. Everybody knows Reggie Miller, Spike Lee. It's why Reggie is so into this. It's, oh, yeah, yeah, I want to see all the Knicks guys. Of course he does, because it makes him relevant, because it's 29 years ago, and it's the only moment he had. He is overrated on the floor, and he owes everything to this one moment, these 8 points and 9 seconds against the New York Knicks. That's Reggie Miller.
Something that will never be done again. And you celebrate, you find your wins where you can, if that's what you're remembered for. Yeah, go
Jason,
ahead.
It's 8.9 seconds. Stop saying nine.
There you go. 8.9. Sorry.
But the point being that, you know, we all hope to be remembered for something good, not like screwing up the word tirelessly for the rest of our lives. So for 29 years, he's been able to trade on it. I'd say that's pretty damn good. I also found where you and I were arguing about, kind of the same thing before. You were going points per game. I was just going full points scored in a decade. So that's where we have the disparity. But for Reggie Miller, I mean, he had a good run, right? 5 all-star teams, was on a couple of all-defense squads, showed some good two-way play. I don't know.
He was a shooting guard and he scored 18 a game. Like, yeah. He was very good. He was very good. But
And in the NBA, that gets you into the Hall of Fame.
But that's right. Jason Cole is sitting there going, why am I catching strays?
Why?
I'm catching strays from you guys. But look, Reggie Miller was very good. And he was polarizing and he was fun. And he still is fun.
And it happened against the Knicks.
Yeah, exactly. He owes the Knicks
in
everything.
In the biggest stage.
He owes the Knicks. Look, the Knicks and Pacers played every year in the playoffs for the 90s. That's why Reggie Miller was famous. The Knicks were in the playoffs, so it was a big deal, right? They played, each of them won 3 times, so it's not like one of them got the better of the other. Knicks beat the Pacers 3 times. Pacers beat the Knicks 3 times. But Reggie Miller owes the Knicks for everything he has. His reputation, his image, his post-career career as a broadcaster, he owes them everything. Because without that, it's, yeah, Reggie Miller was great. Oh, Reggie, okay, maybe he's a, maybe, okay. This is the, everything. Everything he owes to the Knicks.
But all it takes is one or two moments to make you a legend, right? I mean, Carmelo Anthony, he's now dismissed as a Knick, but you'll always have that championship they bought at Syracuse.
Oh, of course, because that was a championship.
But the point is, it's one moment in time. Right?
Yeah, that's a championship
that
moment.
Finished.
That Reggie Miller never and won this a championship.
And this was a championship moment.
No, wasn't
because it lives forever, because it's a record setting. How many points? How much time, Frostburg?
8.9.
Yeah. 8 and 8.9, which you didn't think would be possible, but it was.
Not 9, Jason.
No. Okay. Okay. Sorry. 8 and
no rounding
9.
Up in this
don't
one.
Don't let that happen.
8 and 8.9.
Yeah, sorry about that. Like, he owes the Knicks everything. I just want him to acknowledge that tomorrow when he does the game. Hey, New York, I love you guys. Hey, thanks for everything. You know, all my houses, all my cars, everything I have, I owe to you. Thank you, Spike Lee. Stand up, Spike. Thanks so much, buddy. I appreciate that. Everything I have, thanks to you. That's great.
Finally.
Have a great night, Mr. UCLA. There you
go. See you, buddy.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the TireRack.com studios. Coming up next, we got more basketball. You're not going to believe what one superstar has done for their game today by just walking through an airport. That's next. Jason and Mike, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Big night in basketball. Well, if you're a winning team, not so much your losing team because games weren't close. But you want to know who had the biggest day in basketball? Who was able to influence an entire league just by walking through an airport? Caitlin Clark. Right? Because it was just a week or so ago, on the day of her WNBA preseason debut, that a viral moment happened of her walking through the airport as, you know, Indiana went to play their first game against Dallas. Very big deal. And, you know, there's people in the airport coming up to her. And you can see, you know, luckily she's got people around her because, you know, WNBA, they fly commercial. This gets out. This video goes viral. And then there becomes the big push of, hey, this really is wrong. You know, we shouldn't be flying commercial. We should be flying charter. I don't understand. The WNBA has flown commercial since the league began, right? Because obviously the league has, you know, when you talk about money it's making, this is a big expense. One video of Caitlin Clark in an airport goes viral, and the questions about the safety of the players as they're brought through very public places. One video goes viral. And what happens today? The WNBA announces that they are going to begin charter flights for all teams this season. Now, it's not going to begin right away because they have to procure the planes and get everything set. But they are going to have now charter flights for all teams all season long. This is a $25 million or so expense. Mm-hmm. This is Caitlin Clark's impact. But she's not gonna have an impact. She's having the Magic and Larry impact on the WNBA. All she did, a video of her walking through the airport, now suddenly everybody's going to get on charter flights. Every single person in the WNBA, I don't care who, you have to get behind Caitlin Clark because she is making things happen for the league more than anybody else in the history of the league. There's no backbiting, no jealousy. She is the one. She is Shaq. She is Kareem and Magic and Michael and Larry, all rolled into one. Things are happening because of her. This all happened because of one viral video in an airport for Caitlin Clark, and now you have charter travel. Nobody has an impact like this, and she hasn't even played her first regular season game yet.
No, I mean, the impact has been felt all over. I watched a bunch of React videos from people that have been in the league, a lot of skin in the game, and I haven't seen from some of the folks that were previously, you know, wondering about her level of play once she got to the WNBA. But a lot of the reactions, I was looking at Alicia Clark, right? She's got three titles and whatever. She just had this wide-eyed stare in the middle of an interview like, wait, they're doing what? Like, really? It's like, so the excitement there, you know, talking about then the natural extension as well, the quality of play will be better. The stressors are gone from some of the security and just timing and everything, right? We've always seen the, well, they were delayed and they got in late at night and whatever else that happens with commercial, you're going to have those issues. So that goes away. It also shows the level of a bullishness around the product and the money they expect not only to flow short term from sponsorships, patches, and all that other stuff, but feeling in a really good place when they go to negotiate rights for television purposes in the next year, right? Not just on an app that may or may not have your team, but now you start really being able to monetize this in a whole other way. And you've seen it in ticket sales, right? In Los Angeles, they announced that they're moving the game to the Crypt. Mm-hmm. Because they had so much demand, and we've seen that from a couple of other locales as well. When that comes to town, you know, you don't need a 5,000-seat arena. We need to go a little bit bigger. Do we have any schedule conflicts? How do we make this work? No, everybody's printing money. So smile, you know, the old rising tide lifts all boats. Let's go.
Now, this gets into what the real big question is, the big fear I have for the WNBA, is that since the draft – okay, the two biggest headlines the league has had is, hey, you know, yeah, the players were flying commercial. Not a great look. We got to change that. Mm-hmm. And, oh, sorry, but we know there was a market for Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese's game, which wound up getting streamed by a woman who got 200,000 people watching it because there was no television nationally for these games. There's a market for these games. And you say, oh, well, yeah, the games are available on the app. Oh, by the way, only one was available on the app, Caitlin Clark's game. And clearly there's a market for all of this. How did you not find a way to get these games on national TV? This is my thing is that, boy, the more that Caitlin Clark that does for the league, the more it seems like you're just operating like it's a minor league thing. This is like single A ball in baseball. Like you got to be on top of stuff more like charter travel. And making sure people can see the games on television. Like this, like I look at the front office of WNBA and the big decision makers and I go, are you guys up for this? Like, is this too much for you? Because so far, since she came into the league, it feels like you're not ready for this and you're not ready to help take this league to a level that you've wanted to be at for so long. You have Caitlin Clark and she is here to do it. And the first two headlines have been, yeah, we're not ready. Yeah, oh yeah, the whole, that's embarrassing with the commuter flights. Oh yeah, boy, sorry we didn't have the games ready for people to watch. We didn't know people are going to want to watch exhibition game. People are ready to watch. I don't get it, and I wonder if the WNBA and their current leadership is up to it.
Well, they had what, over 200,000 views live of that, you know, live shot by a fan. So, you know, recognizing market opportunity. Look, I criticized the Sky for Angel Reese's press conference, right? For her and Cardoso in their first press conference. It was like it was the back end of the local VFW hall. Having worked at a VFW hall, I owe, you know, some early experience in customer service brilliance to that. But it didn't look like it was made, like, as much as we've talked about the Caitlin Clark and Doyle getting suspended and whatever else. I mean, that felt like a big press conference. Angel Reese walked in like, all right, there's a couple of folding chairs, there's a folding table, and there's a banner at midcourt. That's it. That's all we got.
Telling you, man. Hopefully the WNBA is up for this. I know Ben Maller is up next. Fox.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.